let's see. Now, the question was, Rabbi Akiva says like this. Rabbi Akiva says, Omer afakar b'svar machtzon. Even a person who reads an outside svar. What is an outside svar? The Gemara says, Tana b'sifrei tzedukim. Alright? Sifrei tzedukim, so the tzedukim are the ones that that deny Rashi's. Very interesting, Rashi. Rashi, no, that's not. Shekol from Bekel Chai. Anyways.
That's not what they were.
The Tzedukim really don't deny God. They deny the Rabbanus. Interesting, Rashi. It's put in brackets. Brackets means what?
What, the square thing?
Yeah.
We usually read the square thing.
It means it's put in. Kol from Mikael Chai. Stachka from Bez. Kol from Mikael Chai. It's interesting. Hold on a second. Okay. Anyways. I don't know. There's a question. Why Rashi calls it Stukim called from Mikael Chai? I mean, I don't know. Anyways, next case. Norris is Rabbi Yosef Amma Besefer Ben Sira Nami Asalamikra. You also now let her read the Sefer Ben Sira. What is Sefer Ben Sira? Rashi says, Sheyesh Bo Divrei Havoi. There's like a lot of nonsense there. Divrei Havoi means nonsense. Imagination, nonsense. Ubo Alayimli De Bigel Torah. And it caused the person to be in Baal Torah. Amazing thing, huh?
He's not
before us today? There's not before us today. Tana b'sifrei tzedukim, yes, on b'sefer ben tzira nami yasa l'mikre. Okay, now let him read that sefer ben tzira. The Gemara says, Amalei Abaya, my time, what's the reason why now let him read sefer ben tzira? Anyway, you know, by the way, the Gemara quotes from sefer ben tzira in a few places. Alright? That's an interesting thing. I'm like, by my time, Eloi mentioned the cost of Belo Sintos Gildanome Udne, the low lazel Moshe Lechavlo, Eletzoli, Yase Genua, the Echel Bay Tarthin Greetsin. Okay? So it's like this. It says, you shouldn't take off the skin of a fish. This is what the Sefer Ben Sira says. Even from its ears. Why? Because you destroy the hide.
Of the fish.
But what you should do is you roast the fish in a fire it's only it's Yasei Benura Vecho Beitartin Gritzin Shatir Hulzos Adog Yimov Lacha Bo Shtei Chalos Tavin Liften Shtei Chalos. And then you can eat. Then you can eat it. I don't know exactly what the list on the shtechalos. Oh, I see. And you can eat two breads with it. Because, see, in the old days, they didn't eat like our diet is today. Our diet today is people eat for typing. Now, they want to eat meat, they want to eat fish. In the old days, the meal was bread. You have to know this fact in order to understand the Gemara brachos. All the Gemaras and brachos are based on this. Gemara that we're eating are based on this. The fact is that the style of eating today is totally different than the style of eating in time of Chazal. I'm going to quote some halakha shells also. It's not so simple. But in the style of eating in time of Chazal was that everything was eaten as a concomitant of the bread. It was eaten together with it. A side thing. But the main thing was the bread. That was the main food. Unless you go back to the Pritikin diet, now they're trying to bring back the time of the at the Pritikin diet. Just like the time of the Gemara. Finally, it was a healthier diet. But because the meat, too much meat, and the fats, and the different things are really not healthy. So they used to eat everything. The main thing was the bread, and then they ate everything with the you can't eat dry bread, you get tired, so they eat it, give it a little taste. Okay?
So the Ethiopians, yeah.
What?
Ethiopians.
Also that way. Yeah.
So
it's a healthy way to eat. It's a healthy way to eat. The funny thing is, I went on a pretty good diet like about 10 years ago. So, I noticed that it kind of goes back to, very much like the time of Chazal, Anyway.
What's it called?
Pretty good diet. That's the he came out with a diet. He showed that he claims to have shown. I mean, they claim to show that there's even reversals possibly an arterial disease if you eat a low cholesterol diet. So his thing is grains and fruits and vegetables. That's it. And he says meat and fish, he only eats a very small amount, just to taste, just to give a little taste, if you know. But he really can't eat much. Can't stand to eat a steak. No such thing.
I've heard just like...
Not according to diet, if you do it, you're not on the diet. The moment you do it, you're on the diet. Okay.
I guess on Pesach.
What?
Pesach,
why? Because
I.
What is
Zayas?
Oh, you get it to a lot of people? That's it? Okay. So anyway, so Rigamar says like this. Rigamar says, if you're going to say, because there's a little sintosh, dugna me udmit los lezo mashche lechavla, he shouldn't take off the skin because so it shouldn't be wasted. That's all. Yes, we're not chobat tani dritzin. Imi pashte barayson amiksil losash chosaseitza. If you want to say it means literally that he ben sira halawat, that he what ben sira say that he shouldn't destroy it plain shot. So there's nothing wrong with that. The Torah says also baltashus, right? Baltashus. Okay. And what's this? Image Russia Orach Arakamashmalan, low rival shalokadarka. Interesting Gemara. Gemara said, he see that the Rambam was right when the Rambam said that Chazal spoke in terms of that Chazal thought always in terms of the Rambam said that the Chazal not shit mashmal. Ram came out with that. That all these midrashim that talk about these phenomenal things are all mashalim, and Chazal never meant them to be literal. Okay? And that only fools thought that way. But here you see from the Gemara itself that the Rambam was right. Because the Gemara says, when the Gemara interprets the Sefer Ben Tzira, so the Gemara says, Imi Pashte, if you mean literally what he's saying, he's not saying anything wrong, he's saying don't waste anything. Image Russia, if you mean that he's saying, by the way, he's implying something, it's an allusion to something, it's like only a mushel. So the Gemara says, so the mushel is, when he says, apparently, I don't understand myself too well, but when it says that he shouldn't take off, Rashi says, it's not proper for a person to change his way. In other words, what does it say? It says, Lo sintosh gildna me udne. You shouldn't take off the... You shouldn't take off the... You shouldn't take off the fish by pulling the fish from its ear. Which is, so what does it mean? It means to say the normal way to remove there's a way to fillet a fish. Someone one time showed me that one fishing on a boat, you know, you catch the fish, and these guys are another stuff. Yeah, it's unbelievable. He said, for a few dollars I'll fillet it for you. I said, go ahead. Like they know where to pull it, and then, it's a whole science, you know exactly what it is. So he's saying, so it comes like this, that when he said you shouldn't rip the fish's hide off, skin off, from the ear, what he meant to say was it was a mushroom. He meant to say don't do things differently. Don't change things. It was referring to sex. Reference to sex. And men don't have sex shalokadarka. That's anal intercourse. So that was his mushroom. That is mushroom. Okay? That's what Gemara says. So you see that was just a mushroom. But you see what Chazal learned, that everything... And the person saying could be interpreted either literally or else a mashal. So he says, "Orach arach mashmalan." So what's wrong with that? So he's telling you that a person shouldn't. That's derech eretz. That a person shouldn't do it. There's nothing wrong with it. You find in the Torah, they say, "In ta'anas benosai." Love one says, "In ta'anas benosai." He said that making a man swear should not be a shlok adarka. I think Rashi says it. No, it's like, very interesting. Anyways, so there's nothing wrong with alpitin, there's no iser, but he was saying orachara. Orachara means it's not the proper thing. It's not the proper thing to do. Okay? So, nothing wrong with that. Why should a guy be not because if he reads something like that? He's giving advice that's not against the derech HaTorah. The Torah says it's mutter. But the Torah doesn't say that that's the right thing to do, the ultimate thing. So therefore, he's saying, Orachara, Derech Eretz, that since a woman isn't satisfied that way, the bia should be for procreation, so therefore, bia should be only done, Kedarka. Shouldn't be done, Shalok Kedarka. So there's nothing wrong with that, he's just saying a true thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ve'elam Yishim Dechsev Bas Lo'aviha Mat Mones Shov, mipachta lo yishem balaylo bekatnuso shematispate benarusa shematizne bogra shematinasa inisa shemalilabonim iskin shematasek shofen. Okay, clear. He says, there's another statement in Ben Sila. It says like this. The statement says like this. But bas liyavio, a daughter to a father, matmones shav. Is a daughter to a father is a bad kind of a treasure. A bad thing to have, a daughter. Why? Mipachto lo yisham balayla. Because of the fear for the daughter, he doesn't sleep at night time. Bekatnusa, when she's very young, shema tispata. He's afraid somebody's going to seduce her. Benarusa, when she becomes older, shema tizna. Maybe she'll be mizana. She'll become, promiscuous. Bagra, when she gets older, shema lo tinasa. In other words, she's not going to get married altogether. Nisas, she gets married, shema lo yula banim. Maybe she's not going to have any kids. His kino, she gets older, shema tasek shofen. Maybe she'll become a witch. Okay. Right. So the Gemara says. So maybe because he said that. That's why we say that you're not allowed to read a Sefer Ben Sira. Okay.
People get scared. Is
it? No. Well, what is the Gemara saying? Why should I say? What was the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying. See what Rashi says. Rashi says Sefer Ben Sira is a nonsensical book. You're not allowed to read. So this is the Raisa to read books that have nonsensical ideas. So this Sefer has this nonsensical idea. It tells people that there's no basis for this. Saying that a person shouldn't have daughters because daughters are a constant worry. When she's young, when she's older, there's no end. So it's not a good thing. Okay? So, what? No, this doesn't say it's a marshal. Because this, you have to know when you can sense it's a marshal. So not everything can be a marshal. What? They said it's impossible to have a world without zoch and a keva, male and female. Ashra misha banav schor, oil oil misha banav the keva. So happy is the man whose children are sons, and unfortunate is the person that his children are daughters. Okay. So what does it mean? So see, Chazal say also that a person is more nachas ruach from a son than from a daughter. That's what the Gemara says. The person is more nachas ruach. All right, can't pull the place too much. Just forget it. This Gemara wouldn't like to have to explain to a group of women's livers. Okay, but anyways, that's the Gemara. This is a psychological fact. Okay. What's happening? What? So the Havamina was also because what he says in particular may be nonsense. Because he says this thing about the person has to worry when she's young, she's going to get seduced, she's old, she's going to be zana, and later she's going to become a witch, all these crazy things. But the Gemara says, apparently the Gemara held that even though what he's saying may be wrong in particular, if in general what he's saying is not wrong, so you can't say it's awesome. In other words, maybe he had the wrong reason. But the fact is the person has more nachas ruach from a son than from a daughter, apparently the Gemara. I mean, it's hard to evaluate this type of thing psychologically, because we're prone to a lot of prejudice in this area. So we don't even know our own emotions in the area. You know what I mean? A person rather have a son or a daughter. But the thing is, because we're in subject to influence, we don't know our own emotions. But the Gemara seems to say that if you didn't, just excluding all types of critical judgments by yourself, truth of the matter is that a person has more nachas ruach than a son of a daughter. That's what the Gemara seems to say. That's it. You can't say if it's right for the what do you call it, the women's liberties. It's not right for them. I don't care. That's a subject of context. You know what I'm saying? What's right by them is not necessarily what's true. So it's not a matter of rights. It's a matter of truth. And there's nothing in the world that could say that that equality should determine what you know. What I mean, which one you have more nachas ruach? It's a psychological phenomenon. You can't deny it. Okay. I think if you really look at people, you notice that the women and the men definitely want a zocha. There's no question about it. Well, women for each other, the woman in the closest relationship in the world is a mother to a son. There's no closer relationship in the world. That's it. It's the most unambivalent relationship that there is. Closest relationship. Because the mother and a daughter is not so close. Because the mother and daughter, this element of competitiveness. Competition. But a mother and a son is the closest relationship in the world.
Father
is not. Still not sent. Mother, son, sent. Okay. That's the essence of the physicality of this. But anyway, it's the closest relationship. Now, and the father usually wants a son, usually the father wants a son, because ego reasons. So at any rate, so the Gemara says that since that's the case, so there's nothing wrong with what he said. Okay. Next case. So the Gemara says, "Ela mishum dechsev lo toil davya belibach degavre givrin kotal davya." What does that mean? Lo sito davya belibach. It says like this: Daige, you shouldn't put worry in your heart. Degavre givrin kotal davya. Because the most powerful people were destroyed by worries. So you shouldn't take a worry into your heart. So the Gemara says, so what is this? The Gemara says, Ashlama Amra. Ashlama also the same thing. Daigo Belevish, Yasichena. Ravam Yavasi, Chadama Yasichena, Midaita, Chadama Yasichena, Lachera. Okay? So first the Gemara thought that it sounds like a stupid thing. I mean, what did he say? He's saying, Lo Tov Davya Belibach, because the Gavra giving Kotel. Davia, because the most powerful guy was killed by by worries. That sounds like stupid advice. What do you mean? Don't worry. And you can't tell a person don't worry. It's the stupidest thing. A lot of times I see people try to console people and say, look, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. This guy also knew that. The guy also knows that he shouldn't worry. And the guy said, look, worrying is going to get you nowhere. Really? I thought it was really going to help me. No one would ever say that. Of course, everybody knows that it's ridiculous. Or when people give advice to others, they say stupid things a lot of times. You know what I mean? They
say,
what?
What people worry if they know it's wrong.
Ah. So apparently, people worry in spite of the fact they know that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they can't control themselves. It's like telling a person, it's like a person who's going to the electric chair. Say, look, don't be nervous, because you might as well enjoy the last 5 minutes. What are you going to gain by being nervous? You know? So relax, make believe you're going on a pleasure trip. You know? I don't think they'll be able to do that. Even though rationally that would be the most sensible thing to do, but why should he ruin his last 5 minutes? Right? Life is just so much time, so what's the difference in 5 minutes? Is he dead? Yeah. Everybody's going to be dead eventually, so what's the difference? So apparently the Gemara was stupid. Because what is he saying? You don't worry. Because worry destroyed the most powerful guys. Yeah, it's very nice, but what is it? He's not telling anything. It's a dumb thing to say, because you don't help anybody by saying that. But the Gemara says no. The Gemara says no, because Shlomo Melech also said, "Daigo b'levish yasichena." A person has a worry in his heart; he should talk it away. He should remove it. Okay, remove it away, push it away. So there, Shlomo Melech is giving advice. What the Gemara meant is that if he said something like that, you can't criticize him, even though he's not telling you how to get rid of it, but he's telling you that it's bad. So he's right. He's telling you it's a pitfall. He's telling you it's a dangerous thing. So that's really not stupid. Even though he's not telling you how to get rid of it, but what he's saying is true. Right? And Shlomo Melech tells you how to get rid of it. Shlomo Melech says, yasichena. You should remove it. Says Rav Ami Rav Asichadama yasichena midaita. One says it means he should remove it from his mind. Bechadama yasichena lachera. And some say that he should tell others about it. That's a good one. Another famous chazal, a very famous chazal. That's a chazal say that people say if you have a daiga worry, you should tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it, It makes it better. Remove. But I say, this is machoikas though. One man dama says, yasichena midaita. You should just remove it from your mind. Loss of shadow. So I think there are two different types of daitas. There's a worry, sometimes it's best not to talk about something. People always say, general advice is, it bothers you to talk about it. It's not really true. Sometimes the more a person talks about it, the more aggravated it gets. It's more aggravated.
He caps it.
You get out of it right now. He goes back, and gets more angry. He starts thinking about that guy, did that, or that, I'm going to get him back. So he gets even more involved. He forgot about the guy already. You know what I mean? 2 years later, I'll start talking about it. I don't know if you ever saw. I saw people more than 2 years later. They start talking about their enemies. They start getting so crazy, like the guys that were right here, alive, right here today. People who are dead. Like their hatred. That's no good. So the truth of the matter is that a lot of times talking about something is no good. And same thing with a worry or a problem. If you have a problem, a certain kind of problem is a dead end. The more you talk about it, the more you rake up calls. You see? And you just cause yourself more problems. But sometimes a problem needs investigation. Investigation, do it not by yourself, but somebody else. Somebody else. You need to have another person. You need to have another person. Sometimes, what?
An outside view.
I don't know what it is. I'll tell you, I mean, I have a habit sometimes when I get a chance to analyze my dreams, you know? And the thing is that sometimes if I just tell my wife in the morning, I say, no, I had this dream, I just get started on talking about it, you know what I mean? Or she'll ask me a question about it, I'll see a whole thing. Whoa, now it's time to see something. Okay? It's nice. But I sit there myself, won't get anywhere. Sometimes you do, but most of the time you can't substitute talking to somebody else. Just like in learning, tell them. You learn by yourself, you're dead. Forget all about it. You sit down and learn with somebody else, it's a different kind of thing. If I give a shiur, the benefits of the shiur are two benefits. First of all, you have other people, you make a mistake, somebody corrects you, so you learn something. But even if you don't learn something directly, indirectly, you're saying a shiur, talking out, you're learning the chavrusa. Learning the chavrusa, same thing. Talking out an idea, talk by yourself, you can't get it. Same thing over here. So I think that when the Gemara says yasichena, it's not a machlokas, it's not an argument. It's actually two different types of problems. Sometimes a problem is a kind of, but see, sometimes something's aggravating you. The more you keep talking about it, the more aggravating you get. It's not an analytical phenomenon. It's an annoying phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? So then it's best not to talk about it. Forget about it. Yasichena, remove it from your mind. Forget about it. Okay? So now I can also say this. Ve'ela in the says, I can't think because of that. Ve'ela mishim d'chsiv mena rabim mitoch be'secha. V'lo ha'kol tov yo be'secha. So he says, keep a lot of people out of your house, and you shouldn't bring in a lot of people into your house. Okay, so Rashi says, those people you know any business with, keep them out. And even the ones that you do have business with, don't bring them always into your house, but talk to them outside. You know what I mean? If you have business with a friend, so you start to, your friend wants to talk to you, so you talk to them outside the door. Don't bring them inside. Bring them inside. Get comfortable. Sit down. There'll be a few hours. This way, outside, he has to, it's cold, and this, and pretty soon it'll be gone. The leaf. So you shorten your exposure. You know? I think if it bothers some people about the smoke, maybe we shouldn't smoke. I'm just, alright. Okay. So now, there it is. The thing is that so the Gemara says, the Sanya, Rebbe Omer, Lo'ola, so the Gemara says, that's not so bad. What's so bad about that? Rebbe Nami Omer, Rebbe Yudanossi? Know anybody better than Rebbe Yudanossi? He said the same thing. He said, Rebbe Omer, Lo'olam lo yar ba'odam reyim b'sof beso, shenemar, ish reyim lehis ro'eya. What does it mean? That ish reyim, sheyeshla, a person that has a lot of friends, lehis ro'eya. Lasof Miriam law. Can this cote anymore? This is an amazing chazal. Amazing chazal. It's, you know, there's a common expression that says the same thing. You know what it is, don't you? This is an amazing chazal. Rebbe says, Lo Yarba Odom Rein Besof Besof. Person shouldn't have a lot of friends in his house. Why? Shenema. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ish Reyim Lehisroeah. Israel means bad, and Reyim means friend. It's an interesting thing, the word Reya, which means friend, has as a root Ra. But it's an interesting thing.
Rashi
said, Reyim Ahoven. Friends. Reyim Ahoven.
Oh, Reyim. Oh, yeah.
Roel. The self Miriam Lo Rashi says. In the end they start they do bad to him. Shemis Kote Kimon. Because he fights with them. What's the shot? What does the world say? The world has a phrase. You know the phrase of the world. Familiarity brings contempt. Right. If you think of friendship breeds contempt, you're probably right. There wasn't any of familiarity breeds contempt. That's what the world says. And that's what Chazal said. It's an interesting one. Now, the Gemara says a lot of times, people make the statement. It's an aphorism. You know what I mean? It's an aphorism. So why? Because people have a certain sense also. That these lovely statements, these aphorisms are true. That's true. The what? I don't know where it's from.
You wrote a little article
on what? Familiarity
with you? The Gemara's.
Yeah.
Where they quote Bhagavata.
Oh.
That tries to show that man has an inherent essence of the truth.
Yes, that's the truth. We mentioned that a few times. We mentioned it with regard to, for instance, the fact that the world recognizes true people, like Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. The world recognizes greatness. There is a recognition, even though perhaps in their generations there's too much jealousy and envy, so they couldn't recognize them. But ultimately, they do recognize a person as a seeker of the truth. That's the, because there is a certain type of, among men in general, among the generic man. Generic man, you find an appreciation. But anyways, it says like this. He says, so what does it say? Ish reyim it's a paskin mishle. Ish reyim lish roya. What does it mean? It means like this. It's an interesting thing. What he's saying is, if you want to be a person, it's very good for a person to be friendly with other people. He has a good name. It's important for him socially. It's important for him psychologically. Have friends. Very important. You know, it's a very nice thing. But what he's saying is like this. What he's saying is that there's a certain level that you want to stay at. If you go beyond that level, then you get involved in petty emotions. And once you bring him into your house, you have him a very close friend, then already things start getting on your nerves. As a matter of fact, I had a chaver in Lakewood. A very nice guy. Very nice guy. He's like a very close friend of mine. One time he was my closest friend. And then one time we had to go together we used to go Beinas Manim. We used to earn money by being in Mashgichim on the farms, you know, for the milk.
Kosher.
So that time it was J&J. I don't know if it's still J&J. J&J milk. So he was a very good judge. We used to learn all day. And even on the farm, he could learn. The only thing is that he got up 4 in the morning. He had to go from 4 to 6 to the... It was 2 hours in the morning and then four to six at night time. 12 and 12, every 12 hours. So you had to be there 4 to 6 in the morning, 4 to 6 at night time, and you're free all day, and even on the farm you can learn. Yeah, no problem. And of course you gotta keep away from certain areas, but you know, you can learn. So it was an excellent job, a really good job. But this guy was such a close friend of mine. But the moment we were together, you know, in this close situation, it was impossible. I don't know. I mean, look, it's not fair for me to judge because I'm subjective, but from what my mind saw, he was starting to get crazy. Right? Every little thing. Why'd you put this here? Why'd you put that there? You left your toothbrush here. All kinds of crazy things. What is that? What happened to this guy? And he got very. It was impossible. Couldn't get along with him after a day or two. So I said that. So I sort of shut. That's a shot. That once you get really close, then people start to express their pettiness. The pettiness starts coming out. There's a point, there's a level before the pettiness. Be smart. Stop at that level. Don't get too close. Too close is no good. Too close. Stop at the right level, you'll have good social situation, politically, psychologically satisfying, because there's psychological satisfaction in friends. Yeah. But when you get too close, then already it's yotzeh schar b'hafseid. It's an interesting thing. That's what it's also.
So you went to school, boarding school, or you went to college. is to tell you don't room with somebody you know from
right.
as a friend.
Don't room with your best friend because you kill him and your friends.
I had a very close friend of mine in high school who he wanted to room with. He was a slob and I'm very neat, and I knew I probably one of us would kill each other in about a week. So we still speak even to this day because we actually didn't lynch each other. There's no way we could
See, why is that so? I'll tell you why it's so. Because the truth of the matter is, see, a person looks for a friend. I mean, I'm talking from a psychoanalytic point of view. A person looks for a friend because he's looking for some kind of a satisfaction that he had in the past. Sibling, somebody. He's looking for that. That's why people like friends and pets. I mean, people like us, they project, you know, personalities onto the animals, you know. And but it's better to do the projecting yourself sometimes, you know, rather than have somebody project at you. So the thing is, so that's really the emotion. But what happens, I guess, but underneath, now that's what a person looks for, friends. But underneath that, there's a lot of anger that a person has because of these situations, these early childhood situations. A lot of envy, a lot of animosity, a lot of sense of injustices that were done to everybody feels, you know, the children have complaints because a child simply by nature can't be satisfied. You know, it's impossible to satisfy a child. You stand around all day and do everything a child wants, it's still not going to be happy. Okay? So, that's what Gemara says. Tinok is one of the things. Gemara says, Yetzer Isha Tinok is Merachik B'Yaminu Mekarv L'Smol. There are three things that you don't want to satisfy. And the, I mean, I can say it over here. This is going on tape. Alright. Where do these tapes go?
Right
there. Okay. Yetzer Isha V'Tinok. Yetzer means the Yetzer, the evil inclination, a person's desire. So a person doesn't want to satisfy his type of total. So you can't satisfy a type of total unless you become a total maniac. Become a total maniac. You make the person become totally, what do you call it, what's the word, depraved. The person becomes totally depraved if he gets into his title, right? But you don't want to have no title. Totally. You need a certain amount. So it says, Mekar v'minu rachek v'smol. A certain amount you have to keep it in the limbo state. The Yetzirah must be kept in the state of limbo. A person shouldn't forfeit his enjoyments. He can't forfeit all the enjoyments in the world. Religious people try to do that. They wind up insane. Okay? So you have to have enjoyment in life. But you don't want to get trapped into spending your whole life in the service of your instincts, okay? Wasting your life. So you have to be Mekar v'min rach v'smol. You got to keep it in a state of limbo. The Yetzirah can't be totally satisfied. You can't be totally thwarted. You keep it in between. And Tinok also. A child also. You don't want a child to... You can't satisfy a child totally. You don't want to not satisfy him either. That's also not healthy. State of limbo. Okay. That's it.
Right.
And...
What was the third thing?
Isha. Okay. So okay. We're not learning this again. We're not learning this again. At any rate, So the point is, what is the point? So the point is that all the friendships are based upon this kind of a desire. So when a person sees somebody that he wants as a friend, so he's attracted because he wants to gain certain emotions. But once you get too close, that's then the other emotions start working. Then that person becomes a figure from the past of like a, let's say for instance, a sibling. And then the person lets out all his anger and all the frustrations that he had in childhood start coming out towards this other person. You see? So that's why it's good to stop at a certain point. Stop at a certain point. You have to know, go beyond a certain point. You're going to really... You're going to get involved, and you're going to wind up with a harmful situation, not a beneficial one. That's the reason psychologically. Yeah?
What happens if you pass that point? Right now you're close friends with the first one.
Get back. Pull back.
Eventually.
Is there any way to work it out when your friends not to...
You need to have a totally real close friendship?
You pull it out.
I don't think so. There's only one way to have it, intellectually. intellectual friendship he has. Intellectual friendship, and that's why intellectual friendship is the closest friendship. Because it's one that you can both share to the highest degree, limitless, and there's no adverse effects. Whereas an emotional one has to be adverse effects.
And what do you mean by intellectual friendship?
In other words, where it's a friendship where you, the main thing that you enjoy is sharing ideas. Sharing ideas.
Does that include working on that other person's, each other's emotions? Like, if you have a friendship where you both keep each other in check.
That's right, yeah, if it's done properly, intellectually, yes. Yeah, yeah, that's correct, that's good. But a friendship where it's just an outlet, a social outlet for the emotions, that has to be limited. Because if it's just an outlet for the emotions, then you're heading for trouble if you go too far, beyond a certain point, it was all very rational about it.
But
intellectual, there's no end. Intellectual is no end, the contrary. Well, that's Avas David and Yohonasan. See? That's the true Ava. But Avas David and Yohonasan wasn't an Ava where they just were trying to go back to an infantile state. The sharing of the higher things in life, the higher element of the man, Chachma, ideas, and there was an appreciation of each other's perfection in terms of their the way they live. That's an admiration for the person's perfection. There's a mutual admiration for each other's perfection. That's something which is, that's a different kind of affection. I'm not talking about that. Here's talking about friendship where you just give way to your emotions. No, on the contrary. See, there's another, you're right. There's another chazal that says that the Gemara says that he based chol based vav l'chacharim. Right? It's in Pirkei Avos. So that means you should have chacharim in your house. Based vav l'chacharim. Now here it says, he says, lo yar b'adam reyim b'sof beisa. What's the difference? Well, yeah, but I'm ram myself based on just for an emotional satisfaction. But based vavla hachamim, intellectual, that is no end to it. That's limitless. That's the true friendship. That's why the Rambam distinguishes between a chavah l'deya, a chavah for ideas, and a chavah for emotions. It's a different kind of thing. Okay? So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, so what he said wasn't so terrible. Even though we don't know exactly why he said this, maybe it wasn't the same ideas as Ramita Nasi, but he said the true thing, so he can't have any time with the guy. Ela mishum v'chsiv, zaldekin kurtemon avdekon sachson denofach bekisei lo tzachin. What is all this? He said like this, zaldekon, a person that has his beard is very thin and weak. He doesn't grow, those days in the shape, never grew big. So the beard is weak and straggly. Kurtamon. A person has a weak and scraggly beard is kurtamon. You should know that he's a chacham, he's very smart and he's very sharp. Okay? Avdekon, sachson. A person who has a thick beard is a shaker. Kamo kol bar bar chona sachso bavas. Okay? Okay, then the next one is the nofach bekase lo tzochi, a person that blows into his cup, so is not thirsty. Omar b'may echol, if a person says, what am I going to, my echol lachmo, the person says, what am I going to eat this bread with? Omar b'ezel lif nofach, what dish should I have with this bread? Sov lachmo mine. You know he's not hungry, and take the bread out of his hand. Because if he was hungry, he would have eaten the bread. Man de isle ma'abarto b'dikne. A person that has a split beard. And there's two... And the person that has a split... Is this his split beard? Yes, his beard. Yeah. Grows up from two sides. Shezakana mechulak mefutso. V'yesh bein shnei shvilos k'min ma'abo. And between the two rows, there's like a little bridge. Okay? And then Mabar, Kuli Amo Lo Yochlele. No one can outsmart this guy. The Mitoch Shechoshev called Yomal Ba'amus, and Mason Yedel was a Kano Moshe. Plus, all his life he was a very big thinker, so he keeps pulling his beard. Kohadam Shemachashe Vachin Nikracha. Like a person that thinks until he becomes bald. Okay, that's one shot. Lashnach Gassinin Achrosa Nishesh Lahekab is Kano. Shesad Kuli Amo Shlo Sadu, Enchom Lagila Tacha. I don't know how accepted this today, but I know when I was younger.
About
30 years ago, they had not only fat guys, but it was a part of psychology in college texts, where they had three types of physical bodies. They were like an endomorph and an ectomorph. And I don't know if they still have that stuff. But a person has a heavy body was this depressive personality was a heavier set fellow, and thinner was different. They had this kind of thing, which is similar to this type of thing. I don't have it anymore, but I remember seeing it in college texts, textbooks. Okay, so. This is the kind of thing like Ben Sira. So the Gemara says that because of that, you're not allowed, it's usher to read the Sefer Ben Sira. Right? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Mili Ma'alya said the Isbe Dashin Luhu. Okay? Nevertheless, those good things that are written in it, we do Dashin. We study those things that are written. Krama, Amrini Rashi says, the good things in the book we read and we study. Darshini Klama, I'm reading Lul Bapirka, Umashmin Lul Kuliyama. An amazing Gemara. Kigon Kohani Isha Tova. Like the Gemara says, like these things. The Gemara says, Ben Sira said, Isha Tova Matana Tova. Alright? Bechek Yireel Kintinos. Isha Roa Tsaras Labaila. Maisha Kante Yigarshen Libesa. Yisrapa Mitsaraka. Ishi Yofa Ashrei Bailo, Mispa Yomov Keflayim. Halamein Echon, Ishi Stein Penti Loche Dim Tudasa. Okay? A person should keep away from a woman that attracts him. You might get caught in her net because of the physical attraction. Al Tat Eitzo Bailo, Limsoch and Moyayim, Vashechim, 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 Vashechim,
Killed himself.
He said,
"Killed
himself
is a
ball. Yeah,
is attractive
woman.
That's the original."
You know what I mean? He's a good person.
What do you say?
The person is a good media.
So what is
Isha Yofa Ashrei
Bailo?
Missed by Yom Kippur. Yeah, but Yofa doesn't necessarily mean that. This is how I mean Nechol Meishes Chaim. So Yofa doesn't necessarily mean physical attraction. And necessarily mean physical attraction. It's an interesting thing. The Rav mentioned once in a shir, he mentioned that it says the pasuk says v'ene leo rakos, v'rachal oisa yafas tov yafas mara. Right? Interesting thing. But Targum Unkel says v'ene leo rakos. What does rakos mean? Yoin. Beautiful. Her eyes are beautiful. It's an amazing thing. So the Targum Unkelus said, the question is, that's the case, so what is the pasuk saying? Ene leah rakos, rachel asi fas tov fas mara. So why do you take rachel over leah? Why do you want rachel more than leah? Right? So he said, the plain shot is like this. The Targum Unkelus is saying it like this. The ene leah rakos, it means leah had beautiful eyes, but rachel didn't have just beautiful her eyes. She was totally beautiful.
She had no eyes
Everything. That's a plain shot. But he said a pshat al kedrush that he said what's a pshat? He says why is it called, why were our eyes called beautiful? It's a medrash that says that what happened to our eyes? Our eyes got very bad because she was crying.
Why?
Because she thought that they said everybody was saying that there are two sons to Rivka, which is Yaakov and Esav, And two daughters to love her. They said the oldest to the oldest, the youngest to the youngest. She's the oldest, she's going to go to Asa. She's crying. So he said that the pshat is that why was she crying? She was crying in terms of Olam Hazeh. She would have had more Olam Hazeh with Asa. Asa was a person that was very successful financially, a powerhouse, very wealthy, powerful person. And Yaakov didn't have anything. When Yaakov came to Rachel, he was crying because he couldn't even give any jewelry. He was poor. So really, she should have. Why was she crying so much about being with Asa? Wasn't terrible. The answer is she was crying because she wasn't thinking in terms of the physical life. She's thinking in terms of the ultimate life. So that's why she cried, and that's why he says, that's why the Targum Unkelus says that her eyes were yoin. Because yoin means beautiful in a different sense. Yoin means beautiful in the sense that showed her perfection. Brought her right from Gemara. You see, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan was a very handsome person. So Gemara says, how handsome was he? And so there's a funny thing. There's a steer, actually. Because Gemara says handsome in those days. Gemara says means he had a beard. And Moshe Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard. It's a funny steer. Yeah? But the Gemara says, you want to know how nice Rabbi Yochanan looked? How handsome he was? Shufri Rabbi Yochanan. The handsomeness of Rabbi Yochanan. It says, how do you know? Take a coat, a silver coat, and put it in the sun, surround it with roses. When the sun hits it, the glinting of the sunlight, then you'll have an idea of what Rabbi Yochanan was. Gemara Brachos.
We had the same Rav. Well, I don't know if
it,
I think it was him, that he would stand outside
the mikvah. That's not the mikvah. That's the Gemara. So the Rav said, he asked a very simple question. He says, what does it mean? Does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan was handsome? So he says, the Rav says, no, he says, it doesn't mean handsomeness in terms of physical features. It meant his personality, when he spoke, his personality radiated. He said, there are people with very handsome features. He says, but when you talk to them, they exemplify stupidity. Yeah. He said, and there are people who don't have perfect features, but they radiate. They are light. The Pasuk says, not charisma. Chochmas Adam Torah Panav. Means, is that you can see in the person's face, there's chochmah, there's midos, there's in the personality, not in the physical features, but the personality. So he says that's what the Gemara meant, because see, the Gemara used the mashal of the kos. The mashal of the kos and the sun is radiating, how it radiates. So that's why when it says beautiful, it doesn't necessarily mean in terms of simple physical features. It means in terms of personality, in terms of midos, in terms of, it doesn't mean just beautiful. Well, the Gemara wouldn't quote it. The Gemara doesn't mean a person's married to a beautiful woman, he's a lucky man. I mean, that's nonsense. You know, practically, it's nonsense. So it means that the person that's Ishi Yafa means, she's a wonderful person. That's what it means. You're satisfied with her. That's the Ishi Yafa. So the Gemara says these things. We darshan. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is a Gemara in Erevin that makes a quote. With regard to our halacha, the Gemara quotes the source, and the source is from Ben Sira. It's an amazing thing. So you see over here, unbelievable, the idea, how Chazal looked at things. Here's a sefer that's proscribed, that's also to read. Okay? Nevertheless, those things that are true, the Gemara says, not only do we read them, but Rashi says we publicly study, we proclaim them publicly. Amrinalu bepirko mashminenu lekuli alma. Amazing thing. See, a chazal, what kind of an attitude chazal had? It wasn't a religious attitude of condemnation or of excommunication. No, those things which are good, we darshan in barava. Not the book isn't. It's not a taboo on the book, you see. But it's a stupid book. You're not allowed a person's not allowed to read it. So let's ask a question. If you now let her read it, so how could the Gemara says every single point over there? The Gemara says, what's wrong with the book? Is it because it says this and that?
Put more page.
That's right. That nonsense. Is it because of this nonsense? No. Can't say it's nonsense. Apparently, Chazal knew that book inside out. Right? But it says, it's us to read it. And Rabbi Yosef Ben Sira. Tana, Pesimitzur, isn't it? Seven Sira, Nami Aslamikri. Okay? So what's the pshat? The pshat is, this I said with regard to, I gave the shira on Torah Mada. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to entertain any thought that's a negative Torah. Okay? So the question was, but the Rambam himself knew all of philosophy in his day, every piece of philosophy, and much of the philosophy is against the Torah, so how could he do it? So the answer is, because what?
He quotes a lot, you know.
Yeah, what's that? Right. The answer is, because the Rambam knew clearly what the truth was. And therefore, when he was quoting, or when he was reading another philosopher, he wasn't drawn to the idea because he liked the idea. He knew it's false, you see? It wasn't a matter of being attracted to any type of false notion with the Rambam, because Rambam was a perfected person. So this halacha, afakori b'svar machitzonim, it depends on the person who's reading. If a person's reading it who's an intellectual and knows the truth, and he's not going to get fooled by any of these ideas, there's no taboo in the book. The book's not going to take away schal malahava. But if a person is not on that level, and he reads these books because he's drawn to them, then the Gemara says, he has no chelak malam abo. It's an interesting thing. Why? Because he's drawn to nonsense, which means his soul is taken away from reality. And olam abo is only for those who have reality. Take a reality. That's what the Gemara says. So that's general. So we got back to the answer to the question. Somebody, what was your question?
Good.
What was your question? I forgot the question.
Specifically, if you're allowed to read, like, let's say, the New Testament.
You know, if you want to... Oh, the New Testament, it depends. If a person is on a level, he's a chacham and knows it's absolute nonsense, and he's reading it for the purpose, either because love and haros demonstrate the nonsense, or if he's reading it because of the fact that he has to answer certain people, you know, who have questions from those books, then it's certainly that's his love and the horse's mutter. But if a person is reading it and he's not on the level where he understands the nonsense of it, then he's emotionally, he's being drawn to it, that's us.
Certainly, books by philosophers, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, those to read those...
It depends where. Not everybody's able to do it. Aram was able to do it. Not everybody's able to do it. Plato, I'd say yes. Aristotle depends on.
Oh yeah, he has a few.
Yes, these are good stuff.
Yes, yeah. But if you're doing for a course in school,
serious problem. You can't be doing a very for a course.
What if you know they're totally false?
If you know that they're false, okay.
What if you're taking that course this semester?
Okay.
Or in fact, what if you just bought six books?
Well, you better find that quickly. Why? You better find it quickly.
Well, I'm taking it because it's a laser requirement.
It's what?
It's a laser requirement. It's a requirement.
You can take other courses.
Yeah, but I'll be taking the time.
If
I take other courses this semester,
I'll be
taking the time away
from learning. Yeah. Well, I would advise you to find out quickly what's wrong with those ideas.
Yeah. I'll ask him.
Yes,
what's
go
wrong with the
okay. Okay, Rabbi Hussain. No, I'll stop there. Rambam. The Rambam in Macholos Asuros and the Rambam where in Shri Sasa. So in Shri Sasa, same case but two different conclusions. One, in Shri Sasa, what does he say? That you, he says that the, as soon as she says she wants to eat, you give her whatever she wants. And then with regard to Macholos Asuros, he says no, you give it to her Pachas Mikashir. First you give it from the rote, which is Tama Mamasho, and then you go into Mamasho Bapakas Mikashir, and then you give it Kashir, right? So what's the difference between Yom Kippur and between Machal Sasuras? So Mendy made a suggestion, which we're working with, which is that the difference is that you never tell the person, you never refuse the person from what they ask. Okay, which means like this: that if the woman asks on Yom Kippur Matzachilish Siyah, so she's asking to eat, so then you can't minimize Achilish Siyah. But on what do you call it? On the Machalas Asuras, she's asking for the substance. So then you can modify how you give her the substance. So first you give her the tam, then you give her mamasha, pachas megashir. You can't modify what the chola asks for. Essentially what they ask for, you can't modify. So if they're asking for food, so you can't modify that. But if they're asking for a substance, they want the substance, so then you can modify how they partake of the substance. That's a good shot. Very good shot. Now the question is, what is lachisha? That's what we're working on now. What is lochesh? You whisper to her. So take a look at the story in the Gemara. Gemara says, "Ahu ahiu bro." Okay, go ahead. Okay. Whisper to Yom Kippur. She didn't eat. Okay. Right. God told him, Yo, that he formed him in the womb before he even was a bardas.
That's right.
That's a strange pasuk. Why? Because it goes against the idea of Bechira. It means that Yom Yahweh is already predestined to become a great Navi. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan came out of that Mubaris. Yeah, Rashi says it has to do with the Uber, but the Ram does not have to do with the Uber, and therefore we're going to learn like the Rambam. Go ahead. So what does it say? What's next? Right, next case. Interesting. Zoru Rishoyim Rechem. Nasa Zoru and Snakal Rishoyim Shemayim from the Rechem. It's an amazing thing. It's again against Bechira. Means that a person is predestined to be a Rasha. Shav Seyatzaperi. Yeah. Drive the market. Yeah. Now let's do that. Right. Yeah. Unscrupulous businessman. Yeah. That's right. Now let's do that. Now the net, so you're not allowed to try to make the market, to drive up the market by monopolizing any in Israel, anything, any food which is necessary for a living. You're allowed to do it with other things, but not. Yeah, you're not allowed to do it with other things, but you can't do it with other products. You do it without anything that a person's life depends upon.
Oh, wow.
They know how to do it. So what's the story? What kind of story is when he became Rashi? So what does the story say, really? What is it? I mean, if you don't know like Rashi, Rashi wants something to do with the Uber. Yeah. The Miri says the story is worth, then you should tell it a story. Okay. All right. But what's the... See, I want to get down to a more basic concept in the Pshat and the Gemara. See, what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that why did Rabbi Yochanan result from this... come from his mother's listening to the Rebbe. So the answer is like this. The answer is that it shows you something, because the instinctual desire, you're dealing with an instinct of the pregnant woman. It's an instinct. It's some kind of an instinct. Because you see, they have these cravings, they have these crazy things, hormonal imbalance, and therefore they feel they must have something. The person feels they must have something, and they think they must have it. It's because of their health, it's because of the child's health. They get very worried, very concerned, you know, and it can affect their physical health, and the psychological affect the physical. So when you tell her it's Yom Kippur, apparently what you're saying to her is, you bring to her mind the halachic norm, halachic reality, you see? So a person that subordinates her emotion, a woman that subordinates her emotion because of the halachic input, you see, so that is that shows that she has certain characteristics, certain traits. This is a high level person. So a mother like that will raise a Rabbi Yochanan. You see, will bring about a Rabbi Yochanan because of her nature. She has that nature, And she also, both in, you know, both in terms of environmentally, because she knows that she has that those nidos, and also in terms of biologically, you know what I mean. So therefore, that's the Gemara story. That's the story in the Gemara. And the other one who didn't give in to the halachic reality, but she just went by her craving was reality, so they became a Rasha. A Rasha means that he wanted to make money, and he knew it was wrong to do it that way, but he couldn't listen to halacha. So therefore, he went against the halachic reality, and he followed his desire, his taiva. That's what the Gemara means. So the Gemara really, that's the whole concept of lochesh. Lochesh means she has a craving, an instinctual craving. You have to give her the halachic reality. You have to explain to her the halachic reality. And then you see what she's going to do. You see what she's going to do. Depends on the level of the person. Depends on the level of the person. That's what the Gemara says. But the Gemara says also that that's the meaning of those psukim, the term, tzarchol abetin yedaticho. It means that Yirmiyahu came, that God preordained, doesn't mean you didn't have any Bechira, but it means God preordained the situation in which Yirmiyahu was raised, that he should have the most perfect situation possible. Okay? Most perfect situation. Of course he had Bechira, but, and he took advantage of his Bechira in the proper way, but he had the situation. That's what it means. The term Tzachal, and the other pasuk also, Zoru Rishoyim Erecha, means that there are some people. Doesn't mean to say that the person can't be a tzaddik, but it means there are some people that the situation in which they enter this world is such that it's extremely hard for them to overcome their emotions. Rashi is like Esav, Rashi says. That's very good, because the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim that Esav could never overcome his. He was basically a person that was a very libidinous kind of person, and he couldn't overcome his desires. Couldn't overcome his desires. Very strong desires. So there is such a thing. There is such a thing. It depends, of course. The person can be a good person insofar as exercising his bechira properly, but even then, he's never going to be on the level of another kind of person that has a different nature and has different abilities. I mean, there's such things as abilities in this area too. He has a bechira insofar as his bechira is insofar as he can perfect. He's capable of being perfected, but there are people that are inherently more capable of perfection than other people. That's the that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, it's an interesting Gemara. Interesting Gemara. But that this Gemara defines the concept of lochesh. That's what lochesh is. Now, why are you lochesh in Yom Kippurim and you're not lochesh on that? I think is a practical reason. That's practical. Well, I think Dave mentioned before. Because the... Excuse me? Yeah, because lochesh has to make sense. If the person tells you, you're not just going to be lochesh. It's not a time for musa shmos. You can't give them musa now and tell them you shouldn't want it, because then, on the contrary, you aggravate them more. So if there's nothing that you have to say to them, so you have to give in. But on Yom Kippur, you could say to them, look, it's just a little bit longer, you know, just hold in a little longer, you'll be able to eat it, you know, so you have something to work with. And then, what is that saying? Ulasapak. That's right. Ulasapak. Ulasapak. It means maybe she could hold out a little longer, so you have something to work with. You're not allowed to do it. It's not a time when a person's overcome by their desire. It's not a time to tell a person to reassess their whole life in terms of their religiosity. It's not a time to do it. But if there's an opening, so then you can do it. That's the reason. That's the way it works. The Miri says that you should use this as an example. It's true, because you have to work with the other emotions. So you have to work with them on another level. Explain to them that big schos, they should fast. Child will be well, and they'll have what they want. The Miri says, "What Yerushalmi Mitzuyabo? Betucha Yerushalmi Mitzuy." That's good. That's very good. He's right. The Miri's right. It's a halacha that you have to work with the person emotionally. Now the Gemara continues. B'chol avavcha is how you love God. B'chol avavcha, with every ounce of your emotion should be directed towards the Avos Hashem. Okay? That's right. B'shnei Yitzrachim means every emotion you have. The good emotions and the bad emotions. It means, because there are certain emotions that are classified generally as good. Like compassion is considered good. Anger is considered bad. General way, people are prone to compassion are good people. Doesn't guarantee. But the pasuk says, B'chol levavcha means b'shnei yitzrachim. Sometimes you have to be angry. Sometimes you can't be kind. So b'chol l'vavcha means b'shnei tzrecha, means the good emotions and the bad emotions. They both have to be under the sway of Avas Hashem. That's what Rashi says. Shnei tzrecha. Right. Okay, so that's no problem when I say b'chol l'vavcha. Right. Now, what's a v'chol nafshecha? What's a v'chol nafshecha? So we finish it. There's nothing more to say. So v'chol nafshecha. So the Gemara says afilu who not less nafshecha. Even if he takes your life, that shouldn't stand in the way of your ava, right? I mean, the person knows he's becomes deathly ill, they know he's about to die. It shouldn't reduce his avas Hashem to any degree. That's v'chol nafshecha. V'chol modecha means even if he takes all your money. Even if it takes all your money. Right? So, yeah, I want them to say what the word, it's funny, why doesn't it say v'chol mamoncha? Why does it say v'chol ma'odecha? Because ma'odecha comes from ma'od. Ma'od means very much. It means that thing which you have that fantasy about. It's mad. What is the fantasy? The fantasy, you can't describe fantasy. You always say it's very much. Yeah, it will always be very much. Yeah, I want to have that. That's a chama adecha. But what? Right. That's it. It's the yisrim. It's the yisrim. The ma'od. It's like every, like, it's, what is it? How much, you know, like you ask a person, how much money do you want? Very much. Very much. Ma'od. That's it. There's no limit. The limitless. So it means money, but it is usually money is the area where people have the fantasy. That's the general.
You say it's not specifically money.
I'm saying it's not yet.
Exactly.
Guy's ma'od is another area. Then in a
common example.
Common example. Right. So the Gemara says so common meaning is it means mamoncha. By the way, so that's the literal translation. Nefsa. Okay. Good. So the Gemara asks, well, which is more important? I mean, the guy, his life or his money? So, what is the Gemara saying? Really, what the Gemara means is like this. The Gemara means that even if God takes away the most precious thing to you, now, of course, the most precious thing is a person's physical life. It can't be a person's going to say that money's more precious than his life, but what is the money? Good as money doesn't have his life. But it means that there are two ways that a person's fantasy of immortality takes place. One way is through his body. Some people, their bodies... The body, physically, is where their fantasy resides. You see? The fantasy of immortality resides in their body. Like, I mean, of course, the most simple example is like a bodybuilder. You know? Yeah. Is that what I'm saying?
They call it a temple.
Yeah. You see, because that's the fantasy of immortality resides in their physical body. I mean, what's his name? Jack O'Lane. So for some people, it's fantasy in the girl. So some people's fantasy resides in the girl. But other people's fantasy resides in their nechassim, in their wealth. Doesn't mean that the guy would give up his life and be happy to have his nechassim. It's crazy. But it means the fantasy of immortality is expressed. What gives him his security and his feeling, his sense of self, is his money. That's his identity. So it depends on the person. There's two psychological forms, essentially. Money puts a man on his feet. No, true, gives him independence. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful emotion. I mean, that's right. It's very good. By Yaakov, we took away all his money. He says, now I'm like a mace. That's right. Exactly. Ani chashuk mace. Ani chashuk mace. The chazal. I mean, the person has nothing. He's a... With the chosh of kemes means, in terms of his ego, he's dead. That's what it means. The gavri is dead. So it says, kemesu anashim hamavachim es nafshecha. It says, yardu minachseyam. They lost their mind. That's it. Mesa. Psychological mesa. Or in other words, avodah zarah is a violation of avas Hashem. Right? Avodah zarah is a violation of avas Hashem. Now, what are you going to say? That my life comes before avas Hashem. So now the pasuk says, "B'chol avav, b'chol nafsh, b'chol modecha." So you see, he's not right. So Avas Hashem has to take precedence over his life. So even if somebody threatens your life and tells you that you should serve Avodah Zarah, you can't. You can't do it. That's the Gemara thing. Every mitzvah, of course. What Steve is asking, so you could say every mitzvah is Avas Hashem. It's true. Every mitzvah's purpose is Avas Hashem. It leads to Avas Hashem in some way. It improves the emotions or affects the person in some way, leads him to Avas Hashem, but it's not essentially Avas Hashem.
It's accidentally Avos Hashem. Whereas a Vodah Zorah is an essential violation of Avos Hashem. Essentially, it's a violation of Avos Hashem. What? Because it says V'chai Bayim. V'chai Bayim means the mitzvahs. One pasuk says V'chai Bayim, that the mitzvahs is supposed to live by the mitzvahs, not die by the mitzvahs. The other pasuk says Avos Hashem takes precedence over everything, even your life. So it's a contradiction. So the answer is, where it's a kiyum and Avos Hashem, so then your life comes first. But where it's Avos Hashem per se, there can't be any compromise. Okay? All right. So from the Rambam you see, Hichus Hasef Mes Nefesh, Halacha Yem Vav, that the Halacha of Rodef, what's the Halacha of Rodef? The Halacha of Rodef is that he's prejudged. It's a prejudgment. In other words, now, ordinarily, you can't give him a... Ordinarily, you can't give him, you can't kill him until he receives a judgment. You're not allowed to until he actually comes in front of the Beit and they judge him properly. But over here, it's a separate halacha that you're allowed to kill him, to be maimus him, and actually, it's considered like a mises beis din. It's a mises beis din. You're a private mises beis din. That's what the Torah permitted. Why? Why? Not because of the fact that there's no pikuach nefesh by Arias. That's not the reason. The reason is, even if there is pikuach nefesh by Arias, if that was the reason, then the Gemara wouldn't have to go any further. The Gemara would have to straight from the pasuk the fact that there's no pikuach nefesh by Arias, right? Because you see that you're allowed to kill a guy. But that's not the case over here. Because the case over here by Rodef is not a question of pikuach nefesh. It's halacha that in order to save her, so you can enact the judgment on this rotzeach, on this rodeh, on this rodeh. That's halacha. Okay, that's a good question. What about cut? What about cut? According to Rashi, it's not considered pikuach nefesh the moment you see. God says like this. If you're allowed to violate the mitzvahs in order to save a life, the moment you're taking somebody else's life, then that's not pikuach nefesh anymore. That's it. There can't be preservation of life when the very action you're doing is killing somebody else. In killing somebody else, it's off core of the whole concept of pikuach nefesh, as the Rashi says. So let's say the guy would threaten to say, either you kill this guy or else I'll kill you and him. Still, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. It doesn't matter. It's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of the concept doesn't exist anymore. See, Rashi, if you look at Rashi's Lashon, he's trying to tell you that point. He's trying to tell you that the concept of pikuach nefesh does not exist the moment you take a life. Halacha is God says contradiction. God says break the mitzvahs and save a life. But here you're killing somebody, so the whole concept doesn't apply. Whole concept. That's what it means. There's no such thing. Pikuach nefesh means saving a life. By killing this guy, you're ipso facto removing yourself from pikuach nefesh. Not pikuach nefesh anymore. That's the Rashi. Pikuach nefesh can't be an act which removes a nefesh. It's not an act of pikuach nefesh. That's not defined as pikuach nefesh. Apparently the Rambam would seem, from the Lashna Rambam, that the Rambam's V'chai Ban means you have a right to save your life. That's V'chai Ban. V'chai Ban, Lashna Rambam. So therefore you, in terms of your personal relationship to mitzvahs, if it's a matter of your life, then you're allowed to violate the mitzvahs. You see? Except, he says, by Shvichas Dom you can't, because it's Ein Adova Nota. Ein Adas Nota. On the contrary. Dorish Adas note the law that you shouldn't do it. Why? She'ein ma'abed nefesh mitnei nefesh. It doesn't make sense to be ma'abed nefesh mitnei nefesh. Right? So it means in the total scheme of things it's a nonsensical thing. So therefore you can't have... So there can't be such halacha. Alright? That's what Ram's saying. You understand? As the Ram's saying, it doesn't make any sense. Really, pikuach nefesh should be docha. So therefore, if my life's in danger, I should be able to kill the other guy. But it doesn't make any sense. Ain't docha nefesh mitnei nefesh? Because what are you going to say? That I'm supposed to save my life and kill him? Yeah, but he's supposed to save his life and that's the case. He's supposed to save his life and kill me. It's an impossible thing. You can't have such a system. The system doesn't make any sense inherently. The system has to make sense in totality. So it's ain't a das nota. The other way, he says, Hadas noted that he shouldn't do it. Right? That's what the Rambam says. So apparently, according to the Rambam, it doesn't mean there's no pekuach nefesh by a case of where somebody threatens him. There is pekuach nefesh, but he does note that it should be matir. That's what the Rambam thinks about. Now, how do you know Arias? How do you know Arias? Arias, you know from what? Arias, you know from. Arise not from Rotzeach. So just like Rotzeach Halach is Yehor Val Yavor, so too by Arias. Okay? So what are they saying over here? Yeah. You see? No. But when it says over here Arias, it doesn't mean Arias where you're forcing the other person. It means Arias even if the other person wants to do it willingly. So it's not a case of Emo Shiela. Right? It means the Isser Arias. It means the Isser Arias. See, by Ritzicha, there's a big difference in Ritzicha and Arias. By Ritzicha, in Ritzicha, it's not the Isser Ritzicha, which there's a problem with. You'd be able to be over the Isser Ritzicha. It's not a halacha that you're supposed to die rather than be over an Isser Ritzicha. No halacha like that. The only thing is that, practically speaking, since Ritzicha means taking away somebody's life, so that's a practical problem. It's a practical thing. It's not the Isser Ritzicha that's a problem. You understand what I mean? But by Arias is a totally different picture. By Arias, it's a halacha that you should better die than be over the Isser Arias. It has nothing to do with Ritzicha. Because it's not just in the case where somebody forces somebody to rape an Eishes Ish, which you could say. So then, ain't dochen nefesh min nefesh. You can say, because you have to save her. Okay, it's dochen nefesh. But the halacha is even if she does it willingly, in which case there wouldn't be any halacha of rodev, right? Still, you're not allowed to do it. So by arayas, it's the iser arayas, which the halacha demands that you forfeit your life rather than be over the iser arayas. Whereas by ritzicha, there's no problem with the iser ritzicha. The only thing is, you can't do it because practically it doesn't make any sense. Right? Because no pekuch nefesh. According to Rashi, there's no pekuch nefesh there. So that's why. So the limud from Kasher Yokum Isha Re'er Tzachon Nefesh Kena Dov Razeh it's not the exact same thing. Conceptually, it's two different things. Ritzich is the effect that's the problem. But by Arayas, it's not the effect, it's the Maisa Vera. Arias and Avodah Zorah are the same. In both Arias and Avodah Zorah, it's the Maisa Avera which causes you to forfeit your life. But in the end result, the Pasuk really has the Pasuk working out. Kikashe Yakum Shalreel Ritzocho Nefesh Kena Dover Azeh. It means that what? That this is just like Ritzicha. That just like the tzicha, there's a yorg val yavor, here also yorg val yavor. And that's all we wanted to say was that in a case where a person, where the person gives up his life. So what is a pshat gives his life? But there's an iser tzicha, and so far as he's concerned, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Ratzeach, Perek Beis, if a person causes his own death, he's a ratzeach. 100% ratzeach. There's not chai, doesn't can't kill him, of course, but he's a ratzeach. But so what happens over here? So over here, do I say the Isser Ritzicha on himself is nidcha because of the mitzvah? Yeah. So we're saying it like this. So if that's the case, then why can't a guy kill the guy that's going after Naira Hamarasa? Because he's supposed to kill himself. In other words, he's supposed to perform an Isser Ritzicha on himself rather than live with Naira Hamarasa. So why can't I perform the Isser Ritzicha on him? Well, the answer is that it's not considered Ritzicha on himself if a person does it because of shmiras or mitzvahs. That's not defined as a tzicha. If a person does something because of shmiras or mitzvahs, that's why the Rambam, there's no halacha of dechi on ritzicha insofar as the self is concerned when you're not supposed to be over the avera of arayas. It's not a halacha that, it's only a halacha that there's no v'chai b'ham, but there's no question of an isra tzicha over here that's being negated. Why not? Because by definition that's not ritzicha. If a person, any action which is done because of the chiyuvei mitzvos can't be defined, inherently can't be defined as a sin. Vitzicha means an unjust murder. If a person gives his life up, let's have a Kiddush Hashem. So it doesn't involve any Vitzicha. It doesn't involve Ma'aseh Vitzicha.